नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। निर्गुणोऽभ्यहज्जो व्यक्तो निर्गुणोऽभ्यहजो व्यक्तो भगवान् प्रकृते परः भगवान् प्रकृते परः समायगुणम् अविश्य समायगुणम् अविश्य बध्यबधकथां कथा बध्यबधकथां कथा निर्गुणोऽभ्यहजो व्यक्तो भगवान् प्रकृते परः समायगुणम् अविश्य बध्यबधकथां कथा निर्गुणोऽभ्यहजो व्यक्तो भगवान् प्रकृते परः समायगुणम् अभिश्य बध्यबधकथां कथा। Nigunaha, without material qualities. Api, although he certainly, Ajja, unborn, Avyakta, unmanifest, Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord, Prakriti, true material nature, Paraha, transcendental, Samaya, of his own energy, Gunam, material qualities.
Adesha,
entering.
Bhajya,
obligation.
Badhakatam,
the condition of being.
Obliged.
Gata,
accepts.
Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, is always transcendental to material qualities, and therefore he is called Nirguna, or without qualities. Because he is unborn, he does not have a material body to be subjected to attachment and hatred. Although the Lord is always above material existence through his spiritual potency, he appeared and acted like an ordinary human being, accepting duties and obligations apparently like a conditioned soul. Please repeat. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, is always transcendental to material qualities. And therefore he is called Nirguna, or without qualities. Because he is unborn, he does not have a material body to be subjected to attachment and hatred. Although the Lord is always above material existence, through his spiritual potency, he appeared and acted like an ordinary human being, accepting duties and obligations apparently like a conditioned soul. Prabhupada buys Divine Grace C.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. So-called attachment, detachment, and obligations pertain to the material nature, which is an emanation from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But whenever the Lord descends and acts in this material world, he does so in his spiritual position. Although his activities materially appear different, spiritually they are absolute and non-different. Thus, it is an imposition upon the Supreme Lord to say that he is envious of anyone or friendly to anyone. In Bhagavad Gita 9:11, the Lord clearly said, "Avacchananti mamudha manusim tanum asritam." Fools deride me when I descend in the human form. Krishna appears on this earth or within this universe without any change in his spiritual body or spiritual qualities. Indeed, he is never influenced by the material qualities. He is always free from such qualities. But he appears to act under material influence. This understanding is aropita, or an imposition. Therefore, Krishna says, "Janma karma cha me divyam." Whatever he does, being always transcendental, has nothing to do with material qualities. Evam yo veti tattvatah. Only devotees can understand the truth of how he acts. The fact is that Krishna is never partial to anyone. He is always equal to everyone. But because of imperfect vision, influenced by material qualities, one imposes material qualities upon Krishna. And when he does so, he becomes a mudha, a fool. When one can properly understand the truth, one becomes devoted and nirguna, free from material qualities. Simply by understanding the activities of Krishna, one can become transcendental. And as soon as one is transcendental, he is fit to be transferred to the transcendental world. Tvaktva deha puna janma naiti mam eti sojuna. One who understands the activities of the Lord in truth is transferred to the spiritual world after he gives up his material body. And the purport. Omegan Tananda Sajanan Ganan Salapaya Chakshulani Samitasmai Sivadavi Namaha Namam Vishnubhadaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutade Simati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nevisesha Sundavari Pastare Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Karadha Shivas Hari Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu is always transcendental to material qualities. And therefore he is called Nirguna, or without qualities. Because he is unborn, he does not have a material body to be subjected to attachment and hatred. Although the Lord is always above material existence, through his spiritual potency he appeared and acted like an ordinary human being, accepting duties and obligations, apparently like a conditioned soul. This is why the Lord is very mysterious, very difficult to understand. Because although he doesn't have a material body, therefore he's not subject to these conditions that we find ourselves subjected to. He can act as he pleases. He's not obliged like we are obliged. But although he's acting and he seems to be following the rules and obligations, he is completely free. So why should he follow the rules if he is completely free? So this is a bewildering aspect of Krishna. And as Srila Prabhupada mentions here a few times, and also quoting the Bhagavad Gita, Janmakama Chamedivyam, that if one understands Krishna's activities and his appearance, he doesn't have to take birth again. Oh yeah, that's all. If you understand that, act like that, then that's transcendental. You're in a transcendental situation, and then you get to the transcendental world. Prabhupada makes it very simple, simplistic. Simply by understanding Krishna, that's what Krishna says directly. So why should we take some interpretation of it? This is the qualification, is to understand Krishna's transcendental position. And it's it has to be, Krishna has to be understood from a devotee. And it has to be understood by the process of parampara, by surrendering to the devotees in the parampara and accepting the disciplines and obligations, duties that they give. It is a science. Otherwise one cannot understand. But it has to come through because only the devotees know Krishna's actual situation. Krishna says, I'm not revealed to everyone, and only the devotee can know him in full. So it has to come through a devotee, and it has to come the way they recommend. We have to do it the way they recommend. Then that's a safe, that's a transcendental position. So it's first of all, it's merely acceptance. You have to accept that with faith. And then you're rightly situated. Realization may come later. But at least the difficulty is that we're obliged to these rules and regulations. We have attachment, detachment, and obligations to perform in this material world. So therefore we see everything in the same light. This is how we function. We think everyone should function like that. That is a material disease. We have attachment to things that we like. And if someone interferes with that attachment, if someone interferes with our attaining the things we like, we develop a dislike for that person or that thing, that situation, right? Then we start to love, we love and hate. We have our friends and enemies who interferes with my goals, my objects of security and happiness. He's an enemy. He's an obstacle, or this circumstance is an obstacle, and who assists me in achieving those things. He's my friend. That's the world we live in. And that's all that's going on in the material world. Just those the how to achieve those two things. And anyone who's the problem is everyone's got conflicting ideas of what is good for somebody may not be good for somebody else. One man's food is another man's poison. So therefore, there's conflict, and then there's envy, because generally we know from our own experience what we like best, right? We know it's right for me. So our mind is always the center. Our mind is always the chief. And if something agrees with our opinions and our likes, then they're okay guys. And if they don't, then there's something wrong. But we're living with different types of people. Everyone's conducted under the three modes of material nature. So everyone has got different natures. It's impossible to have a classless society, you may say. Everyone is equal society. Of course, everyone has equal opportunities, but factually speaking, no one is equal, right? If you examine anyone's, they've got you know, more other qualities that I don't have, and I have many qualities they don't have, and disadvantages that we don't have, and we may have disadvantages they don't have. You don't see equality, actually. So, because of our desires and our striving for this comfortable situation, because the material world is uncomfortable, let's face it, material modes of nature. The kleshas, adi-atmik, adi-devik, adi-bhautik, they're bringing us the problems through the mind, through the body, and through other living entities, and through material nature. That's how it is. The material world is meant to, Maya is meant to be prodding us. She has this chiso. Go back to Krishna. Don't try to be comfortable here. Don't try to enjoy here. I'm not going to let you. It's my service. I'm sorry. Krishna gave me this service. Go back. Get out. But we're stubborn. We're very determined to establish ourselves in this material world. We're very determined to establish our future, that we'll be happy in the future. So this is Maya. Everyone is thinking like that, right? Isn't everyone thinking to be happy in the future and making programs to facilitate that desire? Because no one's really happy now. For a moment, you may be, but everyone can improve their situation, right? Nobody's completely satisfied. And the material energy keeps you like that, just like in the modern advertising industry keeps you like that, doesn't it? Right? Unless you have this. Unless you drive this, unless you wear this, you're nobody. You know, if you really want to be up there enjoying and successful, you've got to do this. And while you're working hard to get that, they got the next one on the drawing board for the next season. So this way, this is how Maya works. Just keeps you on the run, and you have to oblige, right? You have to eat, you have to sleep, you have to look for enjoyment, you have to defend. You can't refuse. You're prodding us all the time. and in that struggle for existence, then we're creating friends and enemies. Who's sympathetic or with us is they're our friend, and who's not is an enemy. There's a world of friends and enemies here. There's never any peace in between nations and even inside the nation itself, when it's fearing. Good reason. Good reason. There's envious people. We have 100 security guards here. Fearing. Good reason. There must be something to... must be some reason for it. So that's the material world. So this is Maya, but there's no actual solution. Nobody's actually successful materially. There's no material solution to the material problem. The material means problem. The Jagat, the universe, means problem. The Brahmanda means problem. It's to facilitate the rebellious souls who desire to enjoy independently from Krishna, separately from Krishna. So if you have that, okay, go there. You get tossed in this material world, and then you can try to imagine that you can be successful without Krishna. So Krishna takes away that remembrance of him, and go for it. There it is. Like when you put a restless child, you put him in a playpen, right? Some bars, and keep them there in the house, and they give some toys, and they can't break everything. So it's like that. And so when one gets frustrated with this attempt to be successful and happy in life, materially, then one turns to God. I can't do it. No one else. I don't see anyone else doing it. All the leaders are promising, but no one has ever done it. Where is the nation that has succeeded? Where are the people, successful and happy? It doesn't happen. It's just a dream, you see. So then you must be. You lose faith in that. So then you turn to somebody else. Turn to God. We hope that's the idea. And then. And Krishna's also, the Prabhupada, Krishna's also here canvassing. He's also come and he sends his devotees, he sends his scriptures. This is what you're looking for. And this is a way to achieve it. And then Krishna actually comes and shows in person. Practical example, he comes here and he acts on the so-called spiritual platform. And he's never disturbed. Krishna's never in anxiety. He's not getting old, he's not getting sick. He gets hungry. But he doesn't go through these changes. He doesn't die unless he wants to. So he's actually showing us, but people can't believe it. And he comes here and he follows these rules as if he's obliged. Right? He's very religious, very dutiful in Dwarka. He follows all the religious principles. Gets up in the Brahma Muhurta and does his ablutions, everything, does all his pujas at that time. Meditates on himself. So it seems like he's acting just like us, but he has no need to do that. So why does he do it if he has no need to do it? To set an example for us, but he has no need to do it. We do. We're forced to act like that. But when he comes in the material, and it's his energy, this material world is, he says, material nature is an emanation from him. So it's his energy. But it's an inferior energy. It's a playground for us. It's inferior. And then he puts us separated. We're also Krishna's energy. We're all separated. He puts us there to become free from this false ego. And then he also comes in the material world, but he acts in his same spiritual body, Satchidananda body, but he seems to follow the rules. So it's very bewildering. Why does Krishna do this? This is the original, the question that was asked by Maharaj Parikshit. Second, well, he's asking how he's come partial, because Parikshit is a great devotee of Krishna. He knows his transcendental position. But he's asking why he's siding with Indra, why he takes sides. He says here in the second verse, Vishnu himself is the Supreme Personality of God, is a reservoir of pleasure. Therefore, what benefit would he derive from siding with the demigods? Huh? You want to be with the demigods, they want to come on top because they enjoy us, right? The demigods, that's their business, enjoying nicely. There's no difficulties in the heavenly planets. But Krishna, he is a reservoir of pleasure. So what's his motivation for siding with the demigods? He has nothing to gain. He doesn't need that kind of pleasure, what they have. He's Atmarama, and he's a reservoir of pleasure. What would he gain? Why would he side? What interest would he fulfill in this way? What is his interest? Why is he taking that side? It's not happiness, right? That's the demigod's motivation, happiness. And the demons also. They can control, and they can be happy. Since the Lord is transcendental, why should he fear the asuras? And how could he be envious of them? Why should he fear the asuras? He has nothing to lose. We fear because we have something to lose. We fear that someone would take away from us something or obstruct us from achieving something. Therefore, we become fearful. Become fearful of people and elements that prevent us from fulfilling our desires. This makes us fearful. But he's transcendental. The Lord is transcendental. He knows that. So what? He has no fear of the demons. So why should he go against them? And why should he be envious of them? He has nothing to lose. You're envious of somebody when they have something more than us, right? They have a greater position, greater acquisitions. Then we're envious. They're always successful. Why can't I be that? Should be me. But Krishna is in the perfect position. He is in the position of complete control, complete security. Everything's moving under his will. And he's in the position of complete happiness. He's Satchit Ananda Vigraha. So he is complete in himself, so how can he be envious of others? No one has as much as him anywhere near him. So how can he be like that? So this is the doubts we have. It's very mysterious how he acts. Why should he take sides with the asuras? Why should he take side with Indra and help him defeat the demon? As we read in the last chapters of the sixth canto, the Lord sided with Indra. But as Parikshit knows that he is actually Krishna is transcendental. He's bewildered. And he explained later on, it's just come out how the proof that Krishna is equal is that the demons, they also get liberation when he kills them. The demons get liberation, the devotees get liberation when they connect with Krishna. So that's the main thing, is Krishna, he wants everyone to be connected with him. That's the constitution, right? Our name is Dasi. Jivesha Rupoi Nitya Krishna Das. We're the eternal servants of Krishna. Actually, cannot be separated from Krishna. This separation is called illusion. Because you can't be separated from Krishna, because Krishna is everything. Material energy is also Krishna's energy. and he also enters into it, so you cannot be separated from him. And he's in the heart also. But when you forget that is Maya, that is material. So that the constitution of the living entity, the soul, is to be connected with the super soul, the Atma with the Paramatma, the Jiva or you with Krishna. As long as you're with Krishna, then that your life is successful. As long as you forget that, forget Krishna, then your life is called material suffering. So how you get next to Krishna? Huh? You get next to him. He appears here in the material world through his holy name specifically. Right? We know. His name is not different from Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We've heard it like every day. We may not realize it, the name is not different from Krishna. But his name, form, qualities, pastimes, paraphernalia, beauty, they're all not different from Krishna. So this is the way that Krishna comes into the material energy, is separate this inferior energy, and gives us association through those different mediums. Expands himself into those different mediums and gives us that association. So as long as we contact, when you contact it, that's perfection. Now how you contact it, that's not so important. Of course in a devotional line, there is a higher thing. That we're not talking about rasa, but we're talking here the tattva of the, when the living entity contacts Krishna, then that's perfection, right? Now the soul is contact the super soul, that's perfection. So how you do it, it doesn't matter. If you contact him as a devotee or non-devotee, it doesn't matter. As long as you contact him. So those non-devotees, they contacted to Krishna. It was always thinking of Krishna. Oh, there's Krishna, that Krishna, there's always chanting Krishna. Kamsa, Shishupal, etc. The Shishupal story will be explained later. Because that was amazing. He's a demon, this is coming up. So it proves that Krishna is impartial. He gives liberation to the devotees, and he gives liberation to the demons. If they chant his name, if they contact him, then others do. Like King Vena, he was a demoniac person, but he didn't think of Krishna. So he went to hell. These demons who thought of Krishna, then they got liberation. So Krishna's impartial. Somehow or other you contact the supreme spiritual person, then you're naturally situated, somehow or other. And so that's another mystery. That's why Krishna's, they can't understand Krishna. Even the demons, they get the liberation. Devotees get liberation, but he seems to side with the demons. He seems to act like an ordinary person. He's only, you know, when Lord Brahma stole the boys, Krishna, and he's just seen Krishna kill Agasura. He said, "This Narayan in this form of Krishna, Gopal, is amazing." He knows who he is, Brahma. He knows Vishnu's position. Now he's just seen what he's done to Agasura, and he see how Agasura got liberation, right? Agasura's soul went into Krishna's body. Surprise! But then Krishna goes out looking for the calves, Brahma thinks, hey, Krishna says that the calves are gone, the boys are a little nervous, Krishna says, don't worry, don't be peaceful, eat your meal, I'll go and find them. Snatches some yogurt rice off someone's plate, and he's going, left hand, he's not following custom, the culture, and the little boy, and he's going looking for the calves, and Lord Brahma thinks, he knows that he's a super soul. He knows everything. Why is he looking here? He's looking in the caves, he's calling them, he's looking in the forest. Why is he doing that? He doesn't have to do that. He's Narayan. But he's doing it. I can't understand. So Krishna even acts, because he knew Brahma's mind, because Brahma was going to play a trick. So Krishna wanted to give Brahma more enlightenment and prove his supremacy, his great mystic opulences. But Brahma was bewildered. He just couldn't understand. He's Narayan, he knows everything, but he's acting like he doesn't. He's lost. He's lost the boys, and he's... doesn't make sense, right? You wouldn't do it. Because Brahma's not supposed to be... Krishna's not supposed to know that Brahma's looking at him. Brahma's up in the clouds somewhere looking. What's it, you know? So why would he act? Why does he act like that? Right? He's not trying to prove anything. So why would he do that? He knows everything. So therefore, bewildering. And you can only know him completely if he chooses to reveal himself. But otherwise, one has to accept the process by which the devotees that know Krishna, they give him. Krishna explains himself, but still it's difficult to understand. Because he has no motivations. His motivations are not like our motivations. Therefore, we can't understand him. Why would he do such a thing? If I was God, I would do it like this. This is how we think. If I was God, I would... Why does Krishna do it like that? Why doesn't he make it easy? Why does he... Why doesn't he... You know, we always ask these... People ask these questions anyway. But you can understand. www.how. No one can understand when, where, and why Krishna will appear and act. There's a slogan there. When, where, why, and how. How he will appear, and why he does, for what reason he comes, and how he acts, and what he's going to achieve from that thing. Of course, there may be one main mission, but there are so many other things. Very mysterious to understand Krishna. So this is a glorification of his mystic opulence, that he is beyond the intellect. He's beyond everything. He's beyond matter, and he's beyond spirit also. Krishna's in his own category. He cannot be defined. You cannot define Krishna. He says, I am the source of all the material and all the spiritual worlds. What do we know about spirit and matter? Even we have a vague idea, a philosophy. But what is beyond spirit? We can't imagine. That's coming from Krishna. So he's different from spirit. Right? That's one of his energies. So what category is Krishna in? No one can understand. Fantastic person. Huh? But at the same time, he has great affection for all these tiny little jivas, lost jivas like us. He's affectionate for us. That's another amazing quality. And so affectionate, he'll come and perform kinds of activities and show his position. He'll tell his position, because we don't believe him, because it's only a book. Then he comes and shows it, 3D, and it's witnesses. And still we don't believe it. Oh, maybe this, maybe why would he do that anyway? You know, it doesn't make sense. And so we're trying to put Krishna in a box, trying to fit Krishna within our logic. Oh, that's why Krishna says you've got to give up all these dharmas, give up all these ideas. Just surrender to me. I'm telling you who I am. I'm showing you who I am. I'm proving who I am. You just surrender to me. Just accept it as a fact. You're not going to understand it. Don't try to figure it out yourself. Just love me. I'm a beautiful person, no? Why don't you love me? I have all the good qualities, what you're looking for. Best friend, best lover, best son, best parent, what do you want? I take it. So that's Krishna's proposition. Just see how fallen we are. We're not accepting it. We're not running and embracing it. We're sitting on the fence and with this, that, why this, and it. You know, that's devotional. What to speak of the, you know, still at the attachments of the material body and the pleasure and the comfort of the material world. You know, that's a huge obstacle for us still, big burden for us still. But when you get above that, then you get another set of real spiritual problems, which are okay because they're spiritual problems, but. So we hear from his here are these stories as we heard yesterday. It's a great question you've asked, because we're going to talk about Krishna. When you talk about Krishna, you always talk about his devotees. So this gives satisfaction, happiness to everyone. That is a process. Krishna says, my devotees, my pure devotees, they sit around together and discuss my qualities and attributes and pastimes. That's perfection of life. So that's what we do. Of course, we can't do it all day. We're not qualified. But we can do it in the morning and evening. and other spare times. And the rest of the time we spend on performing the other angles of bhakti, performing, fulfilling the desire of the Krishna as Gauranga and the Parampara. And this way we achieve the ultimate mercy of Krishna, by their grace, by grace of Gauranga, by the grace of Guru and the Vaishnavas, by assisting this, assisting the Sankirtan mission, which is giving opportunity for people to hear and chant about Krishna, mainly. So we do it, and we give others the opportunity. It's a very joyous process, right? You're chanting Hare Krishna, talking about Krishna, hearing about Krishna, discussing about Krishna, and you're giving to others. That's it. So it's a very nice thing to do. It's a very nice life, and it's a perfection in life, and it's joyfully performed. So it's very simple for us. Mahaprabhu has made it very, very simple. And just by doing that, he's very happy. The Vaishnavas are very happy, and that's our success. Then these mysteries, they can be revealed to us. But Krishna will always be wonderful, even when he's in the spiritual world, when he's acting with his, playing with his friends, where there's no obligations, duties, or envy. Then Krishna still shows wonderful things. They're still surprised how Krishna excels in all those wonderful ways and his different attributes and his beauty. He keeps on ever excelling. So, unlimited Krishna. So this is what the chapter is called, that he's equal. He's a very nice person. He's equal to everyone. He has no envy. He has no friend, but he's open to everyone. Everyone, you want to come here as a lover, or you want to come here with a sword? Come. Anyway, you'll get. It's for your highest good. But of course, we recommend it to go to Krishna favorably for his pleasure. That is the ultimate success. Srimad Bhagavatam ki Shivopada ki Jai Bhaktavinda ki Jai Gopinanda ki Hari Hari Om.